The first mitzvah of the parsha is that of Bikurim, right? Bikurim is a very important mitzvah, as the Rambam notes, and many people go in you know directions along these lines. What is the at a very basic level the purpose of Bikurim? Obviously, there are many explanations, but what is like the basic reason for the mitzvah? So the Rambam says, right, the basic point of the mitzvah is to make sure that we know everything's from God. Now, there are variations on this, right? There are, there are those who say, no, it's about, right, if they look through, well, how does everyone get to it? Give me a chumash for a second. Right, if you look through the psukim, so they say, well, there's clearly a declaration at the heart of it, right? The Mikra Bikurim, which you know, obviously, because you say it at the Seder. Not because it's in Chumash. Why would you know that? But it's at the same, right? Arami Oved Avi, etc. And you tell the Jewish, you tell a little bit of Jewish history, and you say that we used to be slaves, and now we're here, and now you gave us this land, right? So if you go through the speech, many of the messages of Bikurim will come out of the speech. So, for example, some people say that the point of Bikurim is to emphasize the importance of remembering your history, or specifically when you are successful. The purpose is of remembering when you weren't successful so that you maintain humility, right? Hence the emphasis on we were once slaves in Egypt. Others will focus on here are the psukim. We'll just focus on the fact that you're thanking God at all, right? And they see in this mitzvah the importance of hakarat hatov. But, the Rambam and many others point out, and this seems to be a theme throughout Dvarim, that that the purpose of it is specifically to remind us that which we have is from God. Now, that's integrated into humility and things like that. Right, so the Rambam writes, the reciting of a certain portion of the law when the first fruits are brought to the temple, this is the Friedlander translation, tends also to create humility, for he who brings the first fruits takes the basket upon his shoulders and proclaims the kindness and goodness of God. The ceremony teaches man that it's essential in the service of God to remember the times of trouble and the history of past distress and days of comfort, right? Meaning it integrates all these together. The history, acknowledging God, humility. Now this is a theme that comes up throughout Dvarim, in many, many, many places. So, for example, probably the classic place is in Dvarim Perek Chet. What does it say in Dvarim Perek Chet? Let's see how well you guys know your Chumash.
I don't know based on the.
Okay, so what is probably the key psukim? What? It's an Akev. Right? So, what do we. Right? Right. One of the central things that Moshe warned the Jews about in Eretz Yisrael is that V'ram levavecha v'shachachta ne'alecha motziachem Eretz Yisrael v'yed avadim, that you will become arrogant once things are good. And therefore, how do you avoid that? And what will you end up doing? V'amarta bilvavecha kolchi v'az v'otzem yadi asalit achayel azeh, that my strength has made this wealth for me. And then the solution is, and you will remember that it's God who's fulfilling his covenant, is not from you. Or in Parashat Ha'azinu, right? Exactly, right? The Jews got fat, and they kick against God, right? So one of the key things about Dvarim is that success can bring hubris. And what you constantly have to remember is it's from God. And again, is it hubris the problem and it's teaching humility? Is it forgetting God and you're remembering God? Those are right? Yeah, well, that's the parak in that we just said. So part of that, people don't realize that the purpose of Birkat HaMazon, it's integrated in Parakhet, in Dvarim, is to remind you that it's not kochi v'otzem yadid. Yeah, so many of the mitzvot in Sefer Dvarim, including Berkat HaMazon, are about remembering. This is just another one, right? That here, You bring the first fruit, and that acknowledges that it's from God. Okay, fine. But what's very interesting to me and struck me this year is the end of it, right? So the end of Mikra Bikurim, after you've said it, what are you supposed to do? Right, after you say Mikra Bikurim, what do you do? You eat. You eat, right? Right now you can rejoice and eat with everything you had. Now what exactly is that pasuk doing? Why after Bikurim do we get this pasuk that says, and now you rejoice? So I think one possibility is to say that it's a matir, right? If you want to use Lumdish language, right? It's a matir. Meaning, just like benching, right? So Chazal have a kal vachomer. If you bench before, sorry, if you make a bracha afterwards, so obviously you should make a bracha before, right? And the argument of the Gemara is Lashem Haaretz Umelawa. Listen, before, right? There's two different arguments there in the Gemara. One's a kal vachomer, one's a pasuk. But listen, the land belongs to God. You don't have a right to it. So if you say a bracha, now God will say Lashem Haaretz Umelawa. Before you say a bracha, it belonged to God, and afterwards it belongs to you. So what is to say it's a matir? Right? Without acknowledging it's from God, God has every right to say, I'm not going to give it to you. But I think there's a much more interesting way of reading it. And this is suggested by several achronim in different ways. And that is that it's not just that, oh, now I've acknowledged things are from God, now I have a het there to rejoice. Oh, thank you. I am allowed to enjoy what I got. It's more than that. It's if you don't benefit from the land until you've gone through the process of Bikurim. And we can say the same thing about bracha. I don't eat the food until I make a bracha. It's not just that it's now permitted for me to eat. It's that the nature of enjoying it is different because now I understand that I'm eating not just food, I'm eating that which God has given me. And therefore, the nature of the simcha is different. Now, I just want to read you three different takes on this in the Achronim. So, Rav Hirsch, for example, writes as follows. He says, one second. O Az, la'achar shehivanta. Mitoch hidmona dudcha ba'avar, shalecha lahodot, rak la'ashem al atzma'ut, va'osher al hoveh. After you've understood, by studying the past, right, arami ovia davi, etc., that you only thank God, ul'achar shebitata et hitmasrutcha hamichudesh al Hashem, and now you've expressed your new commitment to God, al yisod avanazu, tismach lifnei Hashem b'chol advarim atovim asher natan lecha. So now you can rejoice in all the things that he gave you, right? So it transforms the simcha, right? Once you've put it in context, so yes, you're going to eat, but it's not just that it's a heter. The reason it's mutter is because you now, right? You are now recognizing that what you are enjoying is what God gave you, right? The Ktava Kabbalah goes a little bit farther. And he says, look, by bringing the Bikurim, what you've done is you've accepted God as king, right? And therefore, what are you rejoicing in? So he says, Klomar, shlo tiyeh simchatcha b'masha aretz hi shalcha. Don't rejoice in the fact that the land is yours, because what would that violate? What we just read from Dvar Mchet. Kochi v'otzem yadiyah saleh lachay lazeh. Right? Rather, ikara mechuvan v'simchatcha tiyeh b'mashu ikar kabbalat elu to yitbarach v'yishod ha-shleimut. What you're doing is by not eating until you have Bikurim, when you eat, what you're really celebrating is the reality of God's kingship over the land. Right? And the eating is just an expression of that. The fact that I eat only after having brought Bikurim means I'm celebrating that recognition of my relationship with God. And a third perspective, again, these are all very related, but I think the idea that the purpose of the simcha here is not just that it's mutter now, but that the simcha is now transformed, is powerful. But the third, and this is probably the most far-reaching, is the Meshech Chachma. So the Meshech Chachma actually isn't commenting on this. He's commenting on the end of the parsha. So what's the most of the second half of the parsha is what? The Tochacha, right? The Klalot, right? The Klalot. And how does it, how did the Klalot end? Why were you cursed? Tachar Asher, lo avata et Adonai Elohecha b'simcha v'tuv leivav mirov kol. Right, because you didn't serve God with joy. Now, everyone wants to know what that pasuk means and why not serving God with joy is the reason that you get cursed. But the Meshech Chachma is a very short comment here, which connects the end of the parasha with the beginning. And he says, Hasibah lazeh shelo avata, humachmat sheyalecha simcha v'tuv leiv mirov kol. Right, he said, it's some people read this pasuk as, you didn't serve God with joy. He reads it as, you didn't serve God when you were in a situation that deserved joy, when you were wealthy, right? Exactly like Dvarim Chet. Va'alt is mechez al gel ka'amim. And you shouldn't rejoice the way the other nations do. Shemiribu yatov esmechem, that they just rejoice when they have a lot of good. Lo kei natan lecha Hashem, shetzarech lechiot bi'istapkut. Really, you should live a moderate lifestyle. Va'rov kol me simcha v'tov leiv. And you should feel like you have a lot, not because you have a lot of monetary goods, but because of Ezu Ashira Samech Bechalko. Right? That the joy you should have and the bounty you should have is not actually quantitative. It's that it's about perspective. And he says this idea that real joy comes not from bounty and from wealth, but from recognizing that you should live within your means and be happy with what you have, he says that's the pshat in Bikurim. Right, what you should do is you should recognize, you should rejoice, because this is what God gave me, and whatever God gave me is all I need. And the simcha is in the fact that by coming to the point where I can acknowledge that that which I have is that which I need, and I should be happy with it, because Ezu Asher Asameach Bechelko, that's the Simcha. Right, so here, Meshech Chachma, the Ketav HaKabbalah, and Rav Hirsch all say the Simcha is not, it's not that now it's mutter for me to rejoice. Right? It's that once I've put everything in perspective, it changes the nature of my enjoyment. Right, either I'm rejoicing with God for Rav Hirsch, I'm rejoicing in the acknowledgement that God is King, right? Or for the Meshech Chachma, I'm rejoicing in the fact that I've managed to transform my perspective on life, that I should be happy with what I have and be happy that I have what I need and realize that God gives me what I need, and therefore I should be happy with that, right? I should change my mindset, which will allow me to always be happy with whatever I have, right? And that will enable me to be happy because of my acknowledgement of God's role in what I already have. Right, I think that all these different perspectives, what the common denominator for me is very powerful. The idea that it's not that it's now mutter, is that as we shape our experience and put God in the picture, it transforms our enjoyment of this world, not just permits us to enjoy hedonistically after I've sort of checked the box and said, thank you, God. Right? Okay. We'll end with that. Shkoyach.